Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, president of the Seth Center and New Awareness Network, Michaela Stentler.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Burley Drummond. I am Mark Lejeur, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Today we'll be talking about some really interesting things. Actually, the Seth materials, which I was introduced to many, many, many years ago, Seth, we'll learn more about in a little bit. He coined the term, you choose your own reality. And so we'll talk more about that. And at the same time, how do we actually choose, or how do we make sure that what we choose becomes our reality? What are the mechanics of that? How does that actually come to happen? And interestingly enough, 2 weeks ago, I was at an event and I met a woman that I maybe spoke to. I spoke to a lot of people, and I was literally out the door, and I met this woman, and I might have spoken to her for maybe 5 minutes, but she seemed to know who I was and what I do, and she said she wanted to invite me as her special guest to an event she was having a week later. She gave me her information. We connected via email, and I said that I could make the event and I would be happy to. It was being held on a large campus, university campus. And I know that every time I went into that campus, it took me a long time to find out where anything was. So I wrote to her in an email saying, I would love to come, being that it's the last minute change in my schedule. I would be coming from a meeting. I don't want to be late, so please give me exact directions as to where to go. And she said she would. And then I never heard from her again. So I thought, I'll just put GPS in, and I'm sure it'll take me there. And I just had faith. So GPS did everything but. It took me into the campus, and then it took me around, and it took me to a cross section where I was supposed to make a left according to GPS, but that was a do not enter. So I literally had started to turn. I had to backtrack. People were trying to get around me going, what's this guy doing? I had to go a different way that GPS didn't know where I was and told me, what the heck are you doing? And then said, oh, okay, we gotcha. Then took me down another road and then say, okay, now make a left where there was no road. It was a walkway for students. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to pull over. I'm going to see if I can find, there are a lot of people walking around, see if I can find somebody to ask where this thing is. And a woman walks in front of my car. And I thought, could it be? And I rolled down the window and I said, excuse me, are you so-and-so? And she turned around and she said, I am. And I said, well, I'm Filippo. And she said, oh, perfect. Park right over there. And my husband, who's there, I'm going to tell him to stay and wait for you, and he'll guide you directly in. This kind of thing happens. It happens to all of us, I think. Happens to me a lot, but this time it's different. This time I'm talking about it over and over and over again because I want this to be the norm in my life, where these kind of things, the good things of these, happen all the time.
Yeah, the good things, because we've had, or I've at least experienced some of the not so good magic, but it's all magic when you can finally look at it that perspective. Tonight, speaking of magic, what a full circle moment. It's really exciting because I too was introduced to the Seth materials early on. It was really game changing for me, the way Seth articulates so many aspects that certainly weren't a part of my upbringing. But I've also had the good fortune of getting to know, being a friend, and working with Michaela on other projects. And now to have her in this position working with the Seth Center, what an exciting night, because there's so much to unfold here.
Exciting indeed. And this episode is titled How to Weave Tapestries of New Awareness. This is our episode 818. And we're featuring our interview guest, who is the president of the Seth Center and New Awareness Network. And she's an award-winning meditation coach, a holistic doctor, energy master, and so much more. We welcome Michaela Stettler to the Life Changes Show.
Well, thank you, Filippo and Mark. Very happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. You and I spoke about that story because it had just literally happened, I think, the day before we last spoke. And you said to some extent that life can be like that kind of always.
Yes, theoretically, a lot of it, of course, depends on how you are holding things, because it's all being shaped from the inside out. So what's behind synchronicities like that? Because, you know, if you try to plan that out, that exact intersection, time and space encounter, you would never have been able to do it, right?
Right.
Something is organizing everything behind the scenes. What are the methods? What are the principles? How can we align ourselves with that? How can we understand it? This is really what, for me and for many of us, we find is unique about the Seth material, because he gets into granular, comprehensive explanation of the inner mechanics behind our individual personal experience of reality and the shared joint co-creative mass reality that we experience together. So I won't go into it now, because it's like some pretty in-depth concepts to understand how it's being organized. But basically, it's like, we live in an electrical universe. And so every thought, emotion, attitude, expectation, belief, your imagination, your will, your desire, all have an electrochemical, but in non-physical reality, electromagnetic expression. And that's how it's being organized.
Well, there is so much to learn, obviously, and this is what we're going to be talking about. And before we go any further, so I'd like to think that a lot of people know about Seth, but who is Seth for those who don't know?
Right. It's kind of, so Seth how he describes himself, in energy personality essence, no longer in physical form, had his share of human lifetimes, and he's a teacher, and like others like him, he says, you know, or come into different reality systems to help people or the inhabitants, depending on what the reality system is, understand the inner nature of reality. And he and the author Jane Roberts, she channeled him. There was this kind of partnership. They had long pre-established relationship on different levels. And so it was channeled material in the 60s. And Seth was really like the OG original first wave of like the new consciousness, new age movement. And he was the one who coined the term, you create your own reality. So many of the most popular teachers around personal growth, spiritual development, mindset, law of attraction, all of that, like Seth was the source material for them.
And the kind of material you're talking about, actually the title of, was it the first book called Seth Materials?
Well, the Seth material was the first book that Jane Roberts published, and it was really her synthesis of the early sessions. So that comprised, I don't know, maybe several years of material and, a few hundred sessions. And then the first book that Seth dictated directly for the public was Seth Speaks. So there's been over 4 million words published, millions of copies of the books. There's it's like a quite a big body of work. it's a very large body of work. Jane was nothing if not prolific.
So you're on a mission, obviously. You've got this big task, you got this big body of work that lies here, and you're looking at different ways of bringing it. I'll let you share it, actually.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been a bit of an evolving mission since I came on board shortly after this time last year. And it's really to really spread the practical application of the teachings in very creative, innovative ways for the benefit of all. So it's kind of representing the material for contemporary audiences, because this was channeled in the starting in the mid 60s to the early 80s. And, you know, it was in that context. So there are a lot of things that we're doing, like using, or at least we have in plans, it's not all executed yet. It was a lot to take it from where it was, the company, to where it is now. But a lot of plans for really using the forefront of immersive and interactive media content and communication technology, mobile tech, all of that to make it much easier and more accessible for people to start immediately applying it, because the books are, you know, it's not like reading a beach novel. And it challenges you to open your inner senses just to understand it. So if you're just trying to understand it on an intellectual level, for many people, it's very challenging because it confronts what all our conditioned thinking is, what Seth calls the official line of consciousness. So rather than making like the first barrier of entry, you have to read a book, let's make it more accessible and usable immediately.
Wonderful. So as I mentioned, I had been introduced to Seth for many, many years ago, a couple decades for sure. And I'm familiar with Abraham Hicks, and I'm familiar with Louise Hay, and for that matter, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and so many others. And so I have been, in a sense, steeping myself in this. And yet here I am many years later still saying, I want to figure out how this works. And as I look at humanity, and if so many people have been introduced to Seth's work and Abraham Hicks and all these people's works, and yet we're still going through like this mass belief system of fear and domination or what have you, maybe one can argue it would have been worse. What would you say?
Well, you know, it's kind of like a critical mass. I mean, it takes the gravitational force field of, you know, a few billion people holding really unfortunate misunderstandings about human nature and the nature of reality. It's a lot to kind of hold truth in the face of that. And, you know, there's a lot of deep investment in these constructs and conditioning that, you know, get passed down family to family and community to community. So one of the things, I mean, it's really interesting, this point, Filippo, because this year was the first time that I've publicly taught in a long time. When I'm retired from medicine, I retired quite a number of years ago to go back into arts, which is how Mark and I came across each other and going into immersive media and all. But I did teach the first ever comprehensive course on from the Seth material on health, healing, and disease. And so from interacting and engaging with students on a direct level again, and then since then, the other courses that we've launched this year, I've come to see that there are certain recurrent patterns that I would call like the stumbling blocks. Like, why isn't it working? Right. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've done law of attraction. I've been, you know, working with affirmations. I've worked with this. What is happening? And this is one of my passions. This year, I'm really going to start doing quite a bit of teaching and groups to help people understand when it's not working, when you're not manifesting what you want, when you're not creating the quality of life that you want, why, what's happening that it's not working. And it's really just a certain number of things.
What are some of the things that we're steeped in that are not of this conversation, that we'd rather not have it part of our life anymore?
Yeah, well, so let me clarify. Are you asking me, like, what are the constructs of this official line of consciousness that are causing
right.
the problems? Or
exactly.
like, what are the typical stumbling blocks we run into?
Well, actually, both are great.
Okay.
Well, but the official line, exactly.
Okay, so the official line of consciousness. So let me ask you this. If you have some kind of spiritual or religious practice or belief that you need to ascend, right? Are we doing ascension? Do we need to ascend out of human life? Do you need to purify? Are you trying to, like, oh, you have to purify yourself? Do you need to be in service? These are mistaken constructs. So if you have to transcend, ascend, go into ascension, or purify yourself, it's based on a belief that there is something intrinsically inadequate, unworthy, flawed, shameful, bad, just generally that you have to overcome some basic badness that is intrinsic to human nature. And so if that is so, it becomes a very insidious, pervasive belief. And you can see it in every structure. Oh, you had bad karma from your last life. That's why you're being punished in this life. Oh, you had original sin. Oh, like anything where you're feeling like basic guilt and shame about who you are, this is the programming, right? And so then it sets up that you can't trust the self, because the self that you know is flawed. There's something intrinsically wrong with it. So that's one of the deep fundamental mistaken belief systems. And then the other one is that the universe, the world, reality is not safe, and I can't be, and I'm not safe in it. So now you have these things, like it's, these are a couple of the biggest ones, right? So if you have this belief in some way, shape, or form that there's basically something bad, wrong, shameful, flawed, dirty about human nature, about who you are, and you can't trust yourself, but that's too painful. And like, you can't really, like, if you really are consciously believing that about yourself, you can't face that. So then we have to project it out on the others. Oh, they're evil, they're bad, they're this. So it's like this massive projection process of all the shadow energy that you're disowning that is based on mistaken, wrong beliefs about human nature, or the unsafe universe and unsafe reality. So now you have to set up all kinds of protections and defenses, right? So then that creates a lot of problems individually and on a mass level. So those are a couple of the belief systems in the official line of consciousness that create a lot of problems.
I get that. How is that different from the stumbling blocks? I mean, those seem like the stumbling blocks, no?
Yeah, well, they kind of are. But what I see, like, individually, like, let's say, so a big stumbling block that happens is the conflicting opposing beliefs that you're holding at the same time. So I never, what I've learned is never underestimate people's capacity to hold completely opposite conflicting constructs simultaneously. So then you want, this is your desire, but you believe it's bad or wrong to have it. Oh, I want to create this in my life. I want to create more, let's say, abundance, wealth. But then at the same time, you're afraid that, oh, then my friends and family won't relate to me anymore. They'll feel jealous, envious, or they'll judge me, or I'll lose love, I'll lose connection. So, you know, that becomes a problem. You can't create more wealth if you're going to lose emotional survival and support and connection, right? So you have an opposing construct. And what ends up happening is that you're holding opposing beliefs and they kind of tangle your energy up and it just like locks in and loops. And then you don't get constructive creation or very, you know, limited. Or you have, like we all know, people where you make the money, then you lose it, or you make the money and then inevitably, like the car breaks down, you have to spend it all on fixing the car. Like it's some kind of ceiling that will happen that'll bring you back down. And this is because there's opposing constructs that you're holding that can interfere. So that's one of the main stumbling block of holding unexamined, unchallenged, unhealed, uninvestigated shame and guilt. So if you have anything that, you know, you're taught, you have to be taught guilt. You have to be taught to feel guilty about yourself. So there's, you can't have guilt without its corollary, punishment. So then this also becomes a stumbling block. Unexamined, unchallenged fears and not understanding where the source of your safety lies. So these are a few. I don't want to like go into whole lecture mode here, but there are a few examples.
So say, for example, that we have cleared ourselves somehow of the official line of belief, unsafe world or flawed humanity, whatever that may be. The fear, the domination, all that, right? And if we also clear ourselves of all these beliefs that we've passed the stumbling blocks, if we go outside and look at the world today, would we not see that there are problems in the world?
Absolutely. And then you, as a sovereign creator who is knowing your own worth and value, your eternal validity, are fulfilling and expressing your abilities, and you'll naturally want to be contributing to improving, you know, conditions according to your interests, talents, abilities, and purposes. So then you become a generative center of hope, possibility, and a demonstration model of effective personal power.
So that won't affect me, all pandemics and wars and all that stuff. Would I not retreat?
Well,
you
have a different
I'm only
experience.
One person?
Yeah, you would have a different experience of it. So, you know, not like everybody's experience of, say, the pandemic was not the same. Like for me, because definitely in the area of health, I've had divested myself of so much of the official line of consciousness. So I didn't have any fear at all. I had zero fear of getting or giving COVID. And so I became a source of reassurance for all the people around me. So, I mean, I still was, you know, living in LA, you know, I still went through things being shut down and closed off, but I did not have the same experience that other people had. So, you know, any of our participation in mass events is unique to us. We have our own experience of it that is, again, based on your inner purposes and your path in life, and then the conglomeration of your beliefs, attitudes, emotions, expectations, and how you're using your imagination, will, and desire. So it's still individual, but if you're joining in a mass event, you have your own angle for it.
Or we choose our angle.
Well, consciously or unconsciously, you'll still have your own angle. Or a mix thereof. Some of it conscious, some of it, it's perfectly available. You just have to turn your awareness to look.
Right. So if somebody is in fear of what's happening, for example, then they've bought into consciously or unconscious what the fear factor is, if they're able to see something else, then maybe they're able to see something else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these, again, it gets into deeper discussions, Filippo, about like, well, are things okay? Let me bring, either we are creating our own reality from the inside out, individually and collectively, from the exteriorized, materialized expression of what we're holding in our inner psyches, or not. It's not, well, sometimes on a Tuesday it works like this, but on Wednesdays, you know, between 11 and 1, no, it's just accidental and shit happens.
That's Wednesday, that's for sure.
So,
you know.
So it's again, objectified reality is like we live in a holographic universe in physical reality. So it's the exteriorized projections, and it's set up as a learning system for us. This is how Seth explains it, is that, and by the way, we're in one of the most challenging learning systems. So everybody here is a particularly adventurous soul, because it takes a lot to master the effective, constructive, intentional use of the energy of our psyche, of thought, imagination, emotion, belief, all of that together, right? And so we're learning how to use it. So in this reality system, our senses give us an experience of linear time. There's like this experience of lag. So it's like the feedback. So we can see exteriorized, oh, this is what we're holding interior. That's what it's meant to be, to give us the feedback so that we get really good. Because in other reality systems, there isn't any of this lag. So you kind of don't catch, oh, I was holding this thought or belief or judgment, and this was the, you know, this is what it generates. Like in a dream, it can change in a moment, but in physical reality, there's a bit of lag time so that we have a chance to learn. So we're all here learning how to get really good at this and to do it in a constructive way that fulfills us and benefits everybody else.
So also, we can't have it both ways, in the sense that if we're creating, then if something happens, then on some level we have to accept we created this, either for our learning or because we're still not good at creating.
Yeah, therein lies the rub. So so when people first kind of really start to grasp this concept, some people will start feeling like self-blame, and they'll just use it to self-attack and criticize and shame themselves even more. It's just like, no, you know, but taking responsibility is how you get power and freedom. So my aim is really power and freedom, like effective creation, right? Where you're creating on purpose your experience. And I'm not by any means, you know, perfect at this, like everybody else, I am learning. I mean, some areas I do pretty well, in other areas I'm learning. Like even last night, I kind of had a realization of all these negative expectations I was projecting onto a situation. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, you got to get over that, because that is the outcome you're going to get if you keep projecting that expectation. So, you know, it's responsibility, but not from a point of blame. And then, you know, of course, people always come up with the extreme examples. Well, you know, what about somebody being like violently attacked and assaulted, raped, or, you know, children and infants, or, you know, very young children in child abuse situations. And then we have to get a bit more like wide angle to understand what might be behind that, and It gets much more involved than what we could cover right now, but I will suggest, I know you're going to put on the page for the show, we have a free video series, an introduction to the Seth material that is sort of like a Cliff Notes version, and it gives a highlight of all the key principles and then a video on each of the key principles. So if you want to get a little bit more understanding without having to like devote hours and hours and really getting into it, I'm going to recommend to all the listeners, like check that out because it summarizes really, in my opinion, pretty well, like the basic principles about this, because to understand how you might sort of be in a situation like that, you have to understand like the multidimensional nature of your identity and your incarnational selves. So, you're trying to learn experience from a whole bunch of different angles. And depending on what your themes and purposes are, you got to cover all the sides. You can't just, well, I'm just only going to be a rich princess in every life. You're not going to learn much after that first one. You have to have all the sides.
So we do have those links that you mentioned up on the page for you, Michaela Stettler, and you'll find them there. And people can also go directly to Seth Center, SethCenter.com, and then on all the socials, pretty much it's either Seth Center or Seth Center community. But we have those links as well and the video. So, well, before we get to this fun thing that you're doing for the new year, joyful creation. I think that's a great way to wrap this all up in a great bow.
Well, one of the things, like Seth has said, one of the intrinsic laws of the universe, like no matter what reality, physical or non-physical, you're in, is value fulfillment. It's that drive to fulfill potentiality. And when you're in that experience of fulfilling your potential, expressing your potential, it's joyful, right? It has this satisfying, joyful thing. And that's really, Seth has often said, like, if it's not fun, don't do it. So it's not like this, oh, serious. It's like, no, life is meant to be enjoyed. Pleasure. It's a emphasis on fun and pleasure and joyfulness. Like it's not meant to be this like hard, slogging, ascetic lifestyle. Right? Like,
Oh, good.
use it all and have fun and pleasure and love and joy fulfillment all together.
So, not to be confused with self-gratification or immediate gratification, right?
Well, again, then you're in a unconscious drive of sensation seeking because you have some deep-seated feeling of emptiness, unworthiness, or meaninglessness, right? So that's a whole different thing, but rich, rewarding appreciation of physical life and utilizing and expressing all your capacities and abilities, and including your capacity for love and joy and play.
And not to the expense of others, but rather to the mutual joyfulness.
Well, exactly. So this is again, like, there's a whole concept here, which again is too much to get into right now. But basically, what Seth has said, when you understand like the inner planes of reality, like where everything is working together for the greatest benefit of all. So it's not at the expense of others, but it's where, like, how a nature ecosystem works. So a healthy ecosystem, everything flourishes. So the more that you are in authentic expression and fulfillment of your true nature, not only does it benefit and fulfill you, but it's a contribution to everyone else and it works toward the benefit and good of everyone. It's not an either or. This is, again, our false ideas of competition. It's cooperation. All of life is cooperatively, symbiotically collaborating together.
And then, of course, if somebody has an underlying belief of all the other things that we talked about, then they may take it that way, and that's their life experience, right? And that shouldn't affect ours.
Yeah, well, you know, Filippo, the further you go down this road, it's not that you don't see or witness pain, suffering, problems in the world. You do. You just have a frame of reference that gives you resilience, compassion, and understanding.
Nice. Very nice. Well, if there's a time for resilience, compassion, understanding, it is now. And though our show is evergreen, this is 2024 and we're heading into 2025. It's been a very interesting year, surely to be another interesting year. Next year, what is something that Seth Center is offering for
people?
Well,
I've been very, very inspired to help people understand from the Seth material, with his teachings, the perspective of how we create mass events. So especially with the presidential election in the US this year and the divisiveness and, you know, just all the things, there's so much, right? You just look around world conditions and it could, you know, make you lose hope. So what are really going to get into understanding the true causes and mechanics behind these mass events and how the like different aspects of what Seth has called this official line of consciousness are playing into that. And then how you can ground yourself in your own point of power and how to hold your freedom and sovereignty in the face of all of that. So I'm going to do like a 2-hour event on the Saturday right after New Year's, and I'm going to basically sort of deconstruct in a rapid fire way, the official line of consciousness, and kind of make it very concrete of what it is. And then we'll do some different processes and practices of how to ground ourselves. And then we'll do an attunement of how to align yourself with the most excellent probable version of 2025.
Or for that matter, any year, right?
Yes, but in this case, right, we're let's see if we can join together and align and align ourselves at least for ourselves, because never underestimate the influence of a really grounded, present, effective, happy, fulfilled person.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Michaela. Again, Seth Center, SethCenter.com. And like Michaela said, we do have the links to all the videos that she talked about that go directly to their website. And then the social media pages for Seth Center or Seth Center Community. Find them at The Life Changes Show. Michaela, thank you so much for sharing not only what you've shared, but sharing the Seth materials into the next generations.
Oh, thank you, Filippo and Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to come on, and you know, I love sharing this, and also I like to have more people so I don't feel alone in my understanding of this.
Indeed.
I like more people who are doing it, because then I want all of you fulfilling all of yourselves in my reality system.
Nice. I'm with that. And so a big thank you to you for sharing as you have today on the Life Changes Show.
My pleasure.
All the best, Michaela Stettler. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is David, and my family is upset with me because I didn't join them for Thanksgiving. I told them I was sick, but the truth is I'm sick and tired of gatherings that aren't fun and seem to give my family time for letting me know everything that is wrong with me. I believe that Thanksgiving should be a time for celebrating life and not the time for criticizing one another. Am I being the bad one by not showing up?
My dear David, congratulations for choosing to love you by refusing to be the target of complaints. You're not necessarily being bad for choosing not to attend, especially if you feel that your family gatherings are emotionally draining rather than uplifting. It's okay to prioritize your well-being, especially if the environment tends to be critical rather than celebratory. So let's take a moment to look at Thanksgiving Day, which has historical roots and is often celebrated by a large meal with family and friends. In all of the Thanksgivings I have celebrated, I don't recall any discussion of the history of why we were feasting. We were simply choosing to prepare and share a bountiful meal with our loved ones and to give thanks for our love for one another. It is my belief that not only on Thanksgiving, but at all times, sharing food with family should be a time of connection, gratitude, and love. Therefore, I support your decision as I feel it comes from a place of self-love, which is important. Stepping away is a good way to avoid further abuse. However, if this is a family that you care to have a relationship with after the holidays have passed and long before the next ones, find a way to share with the whole family or individual family members how you feel without blaming or shaming, and suggesting that we all be more conscious of taking the time to either get to know each other as we are or appreciate each other as much as we can exactly as we are without using or hijacking that time for teaching or worse. Finally, if this is not family you care to have a relationship with, or if your family still doesn't share your idea of what a family gathering could be, then consider looking at your circle of friends and seeing if there is anyone who you would like to share a special day with. And if you can't find any of those, take this coming year to focus on attracting your idea of family into your life. And maybe by next year, you can be the one to host a group of people for Thanksgiving who are looking for the same. These might very well be your sole family members. And by the way, attracting a group of people who feel like you want to feel about family will require that you are being that same person who not only believes in your family values, but lives it. I look forward to hearing how finding your soul family is growing through the year.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, thankfully, you can write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Indeed. And for our performance section, we have our featured performer, who is a 5-time Grammy-nominated drummer, percussionist, singer, songwriter, and founding member of Ambrosia and founding member of the Tin Drum Family Band. We're going to get to learn more about all of that. Welcome, Burley Drummond, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, Filippo, how are you?
I am excited to have you on. You know, it has been a delight getting to know you and your family, actually, in this process of you being on the show with us. Wish we could have them all on right now because you all sound delightful, but thankfully we have the time with you. Let's start with Ambrosia. Talk about Life Changes. Ambrosia was a life change moment as it happened, after it happened, and still happening, right?
Yes, we got together. We formed in 1970, the original four of us. And, you know, we did 5 albums. We started recording in 1975, and we took a break in 82, got back together in 89. And now it's, you know, we've been a band basically since. So that's almost 43 years. So,
you know, yeah. Give us a couple of the song titles 50. Well, yes. Give us a couple song titles that everybody would know.
Well, our first hit in 1975 was Holding On to Yesterday. And then our second hit was How Much I Feel. And then Biggest Part of Me. And then You're the Only Woman. And we also had some hits, East Coast hits, with like Nice, Nice, Very Nice, co-written with Kurt Vonnegut Jr. And we did a remake for a movie, All This in World War II, which was called Magical Mystery Tour.
You know, after having that kind of success, when you say you took a break, it actually must have been a hard period because you were actually trying to figure things out. But you said to me, during that hard period, something very amazing happened.
Oh, yes. Well, for me, it was the best thing that could have happened because it afforded me the opportunity and time to meet my future wife. And now we've been married 42 years. That's where I got 42 from. But
nice.
So, and that wouldn't have happened if it probably wouldn't have happened if I would have remained consumed with Ambrosia full time. So I'm very thankful for the way fate let me find my mate, you know.
Interestingly enough, much like Michaela was saying earlier, not everybody experienced the pandemic in the same way. And an interesting thing happened in your family during that time.
Yeah, very much so. My son and daughter, my son is a very fine musician himself and writer. And he has a band called the Everly Brothers Experience, which tours constantly. And so he was on the road, you know, touring right before the pandemic. And my daughter was in the Peace Corps over in Thailand and just happened to come home for a wedding and got stuck here because the pandemic broke out while she was here. So, you know, so we all congregated and huddled down in our family home here on Emerson Street in Thousand Oaks. And being that they are pretty substantial musicians on their own and writers, we started collaborating. And what was really great, I really am thankful for the pandemic in a way that it gave us the opportunity to come up with a family album or CD, whatever you want to call it nowadays, but a collection of songs that we put out from the Tin Drum Family Band. And the title of the album is called Emerson Street.
That is a beautiful story. And that was released almost exactly a year ago. And we're going to get to hear the first track from that album. You've decided to share with us, I Fall Down. Tell us a little bit about that before we hear it.
Well, I Fall Down was a song I was working on. I think I was asked to present songs that I sang. And that's one I'm singing. And my wife sings the bridge. We're very collaborative in the family. And so I was painfully shy growing up, and it's kind of a reflection on, you know, growing up that way and how you have to work through it. And so that's the story on that one.
Okay. Well, here is Burley Drummond's I Fall Down from his family album that we'll talk more about, Emerson Street, after the song here on the Life Changers Show.
Can you help me? nights. I look for love I never find. Can you help?
Burley Drummond, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Now, I wouldn't say I'm the best vocalist in the. Everyone in the band is a vocalist, and my wife is especially, you know, good. All the my kids are great, and they let me sing once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're modest. Tindrummusic.com is where people can find you, the album, your family, and so many other people, actually. And then we also have links on the Life Changes Show webpage for Burley Drummond. And so, speaking of so many other people, you have performed for and with and so many other people, and people that... people not only know, but it feels like need. In this particular time, it seems like though your music was popular in its day and continued to be popular, it is popular now almost for a reason, like we need this. Are you feeling something like that?
Well, yeah, that's a very insightful way of saying it, because there are songs, especially our hit songs, which was a certain style within the overall palette of Ambrosia, have had an amazing resurgence, along with a lot of acts from the 70s, like Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross and you know, it's like, and they're labeling these hits as yacht rock, and it's surprising. When it first started, like, oh, it must have started like four or five years ago, you know, I kind of didn't take it very seriously, but now it's like there's many radio stations across the country that are dedicated just to the yacht rock catalog, and there's even an Ambrosia station, you know, station all by itself.
Nice.
I know, it's like, okay, great. but yes, it's had an amazing resurgence, and it's at least we probably do within Ambrosia about 60 to 70 dates a year, and at least, you know, a third to a half of them are these yacht rock groupings where, you know, especially we really enjoy it because Ambrosia is like the host band, and we have people like John Ford Coley and Peter Beckett, Elliot Lurie, Al Stewart. They come and we back them up as part of our show, and they're like special guests, you know, within our show, and that is so much fun because, you know, we're getting to play with our colleagues we didn't get to in the back in the day, so we're making up for it now, you know.
Nice. Well, Burley, one of the reasons I say that we need right now is that the lyrics are very, I think, very different than a lot of the lyrics on pop radio today. And also they seem to be songs, and you tell me because you're experiencing this live as it's happening, songs that like the whole family can agree on.
Right. And I especially noticed that with our shows, we're seeing a lot of generations. We're seeing our original fans, which are, you know, our age, and their son, you know, their children and their children's children are showing up at shows. So we're, you
All
know, a lot of,
together.
yeah, we're showing, we're seeing a lot of three generational shows where and of course, back in the day, we used to meet a lot of girls that were named Ambrosia because that was the thing to do, name your daughter after your favorite band. So,
Nice.
luckily, I'm kind of glad that one stopped. But anyway.
Now, you know, I didn't want to say this, but I remember Ambrosia being a salad.
Oh, well, it's been a lot of things. And,
Oh, it has. Okay.
well, you know, originally, I mean, the true meaning of it, ambrosia is the nectar of the Greek gods. It's what
Oh, right.
they
Okay.
imbibed to stay, it kept them immortal. So, you know, we thought, oh, yes, of course, our music will be immortal. But, you know, you go, we were humbled. We went to London to do an album. And, you know, somebody pointed out to us right away that ambrosia was the leading brand of rice pudding over there.
Oh,
So we go from fruit salads to rice pudding.
Well, but immortal music. So what more can you ask for? Well, let's hear some more music. Now, this is special. Never Far From Home. Tell us about that.
My son was getting ready to do his basically his walkabout in life, and he was going to go off to India for a year and just travel around. And you know, he had never really done the big trip, you know, away. He had never really left, so he was leaving home. And this was my sentiment, was that, you know, because he's in my heart, he's never far from home.
This is beautiful. This is also on the Tin Drum Family album, Emerson Street. This is Never Far From Home, pre-recorded here on the Life Changes show, Burley Drummond.
As you start upon chances you will take, try to pay for your mistakes. You may never fix them all. The greatest gift you have is time. Make more of yours than I did mine, and you'll travel very far. But no matter 'cause I am yours and you are mine. Look inside and you will find you were always in my heart. And no matter where you go, you should always know you are never.
Burley Drummond, thank you so much for sharing that song with us here on the Life Changes Show.
My pleasure. It's hard to listen to my voice, though, for me.
Burley, tindrummusic.com. And then we've got the Spotify link and the SoundCloud link and Facebook and Instagram. So you could find them all on our page for Burley Drummond. Burley is B-U-R-L-E-I-G-H, Drummond, D-R-U-M-M-O-N-D. Really quickly, Burley, I wasn't familiar with that name that I recall.
It's a Scottish name, and my Drummond is Scottish, and we were the clan that hid Barney Prince Charles from the English, so we're very deceptive people, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Burley.
I think Burley means meadow by the mountain or something like that, but you know, I am attracted to meadows for some reason, so. Maybe.
Okay. Well, Burley, I trust this isn't the last time we connect. It has been such a pleasure. I feel like I just met a new family because you're literally just down the street, and I look forward to, and I encourage people to take their family to go see Burley Drummond and Ambrosia and Ambrosia and Friends and Ambrosia and Family and the Tin Drum Family Band. Wherever you can, go to tindrummusic.com and see where they're performing next in a city near you. Burley, all the best to you and your whole family.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Filippo. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you. And so with a big thank you to Burley Drummond as our performance guest, and another big thank you to Michaela Stettler, our interview guest, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer, Mark Lejeure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.